Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 3. Repentance. How shall a man be just with God? How shall the sinner be made righteous? It is only through Christ that we can be brought into harmony with God, with holiness. But how are we to come to Christ? Many are asking the same question as did the multitude on the day of Pentecost, when, convicted of sin, they cried out, "What shall we do?" The first word of Peter's answer was, "Repent," Acts 2, verse 37 and 38. At another time, shortly after, he said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out," Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repentance includes sorrow for sin and a turning away from it. We shall not renounce sin unless we see its sinfulness. Unless we turn away from it in heart, there will be no real change in the life. There are many who fail to understand the true nature of repentance. Multitudes sorrow that they have sinned, and even make an outward reformation because they fear that their wrongdoing will bring suffering upon themselves. But this is not repentance in the Bible sense. They lament the suffering rather than the sin. Such was the grief of Esau when he saw that the birthright was lost to him forever. Balaam, terrified by the angel standing in his pathway, with drawn sword, acknowledged his guilt lest he should lose his life. But there was no genuine repentance for sin, no conversion of purpose, no abhorrence of evil. Judas Iscariot, after betraying his Lord, exclaimed, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood," Matthew 27:4. The confession was forced from his guilty soul by an awful sense of condemnation and a fearful looking for of judgment. The consequences that were to result to him filled him with terror, but there was no deep, heartbreaking grief in his soul that he had betrayed the spotless Son of God and denied the Holy One of Israel. Pharaoh, when suffering under the judgments of God, acknowledged his sin in order to escape further punishment, but returned to his defiance of heaven as soon as the plagues were stayed. These all lamented the results of sin, but did not sorrow for the sin itself. But when the heart yields to the influence of the Spirit of God, the conscience will be quickened, and the sinner will discern something of the depth and sacredness of God's holy law, the foundation of his government in heaven and on earth. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world illumines the secret chambers of the soul, and the hidden things of darkness are made manifest. John 1:9. Conviction takes hold upon the mind and heart. The sinner has a sense of the righteousness of Jehovah and feels the terror of appearing in his own guilt and uncleanness before the searcher of hearts. He sees the love of God, the beauty of holiness, the joy of purity. He longs to be cleansed and to be restored to communion with heaven. The prayer of David after his fall illustrates the nature of true sorrow for sin. His repentance was sincere and deep. There was no effort to palliate his guilt. No desire to escape the judgment threatened inspired his prayer. David saw the enormity of his transgression. He saw the defilement of his soul. He loathed his sin. It was not for pardon only that he prayed, but for purity of heart. He longed for the joy of holiness, to be restored to harmony and communion with God. This was the language of his soul. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 14. A repentance such as this is beyond the reach of our own power to accomplish. It is obtained only from Christ, who ascended up on high and has given gifts unto men. Just here is a point on which many may err, and hence they fail of receiving the help that Christ desires to give them. They think that they cannot come to Christ unless they first repent, and that repentance prepares for the forgiveness of their sins. It is true that repentance does precede the forgiveness of sins, for it is only the broken and contrite heart that will feel the need of a Savior. But must the sinner wait till he has repented before he can come to Jesus? Is repentance to be made an obstacle between the sinner and the Savior? The Bible does not teach that the sinner must repent before he can heed the invitation of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. It is the virtue that goes forth from Christ that leads to genuine repentance. Peter made the matter clear in his statement to the Israelites when he said, Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. We can no more repent without the Spirit of Christ to awaken the conscience than we can be pardoned without Christ. Christ is the source of every right impulse. He is the only one that can implant in the heart enmity against sin. Every desire for truth and purity, every conviction of our own sinfulness, is an evidence that His Spirit is moving upon our hearts. Jesus has said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John chapter 12, verse 32. Christ must be revealed to the sinner as the Savior dying for the sins of the world. And as we behold the Lamb of God upon the cross of Calvary, the mystery of redemption begins to unfold to our minds, and the goodness of God leads us to repentance. In dying for sinners, Christ manifested a love that is incomprehensible, and as the sinner beholds this love, it softens the heart, impresses the mind, and inspires contrition in the soul. It is true that men sometimes become ashamed of their sinful ways and give up some of their evil habits before they are conscious that they are being drawn to Christ. But whenever they make an effort to reform from a sincere desire to do right, it is the power of Christ that is drawing them, an influence of which they are unconscious works upon the soul, and the conscience is quickened, and the outward life is amended. And as Christ draws them to look upon his cross, to behold him whom their sins have pierced, the commandment comes home to the conscience. The wickedness of their life, the deep-seated sin of the soul is revealed to them. They begin to comprehend something of the righteousness of Christ and exclaim, "What is sin that it should require such a sacrifice for the redemption of its victim? Was all this love, all this suffering, all this humiliation demanded that we might not perish, but have everlasting life?" The sinner may resist this love, may refuse to be drawn to Christ, but if he does not resist, he will be drawn to Jesus. A knowledge of the plan of salvation will lead him to the foot of the cross in repentance for his sins, which have caused the suffering of God's dear Son. The same divine mind that is working upon the things of nature is speaking to the hearts of men, and creating an inexpressible craving for something they have not. The things of the world cannot satisfy their longing. The Spirit of God is pleading with them to seek for those things that alone can give peace and rest, the grace of Christ, the joy of holiness. Through influences seen and unseen, our Savior is constantly at work to attract the minds of men from the unsatisfying pleasures of sin to the infinite blessings that may be theirs in Him. To all these souls, who are vainly seeking to drink from the broken cisterns of this world, the divine message is addressed. "Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. You who in heart long for something better than this world can give, recognize this longing as the voice of God to your soul. Ask Him to give you repentance, to reveal Christ to you in His infinite love, in His perfect purity. In the Savior's life, the principles of God's law, love to God and man, were perfectly exemplified. Benevolence, unselfish love, was the life of His soul. It is as we behold Him, as the light from our Savior falls upon us, that we see the sinfulness of our own hearts. We may have flattered ourselves, as did Nicodemus, that our life has been upright, that our moral character is correct, and think that we need not humble the heart before God, like the common sinner. But when the light from Christ shines into our souls, we shall see how impure we are. We shall discern the selfishness of motive, the enmity against God that has defiled every act of life. Then we shall know that our own righteousness is indeed as filthy rags, and that the blood of Christ alone can cleanse us from the defilement of sin and renew our hearts in His own likeness. One ray of the glory of God, one gleam of the purity of Christ, penetrating the soul, makes every spot of defilement painfully distinct, and lays bare the deformity and defects of the human character. It makes apparent the unhallowed desires, the infidelity of the heart, the impurity of the lips. The sinner's acts of disloyalty in making void the law of God are exposed to his sight, and his spirit is stricken and afflicted under the searching influence of the Spirit of God. He loathes himself as he views the pure, spotless character of Christ. When the prophet Daniel beheld the glory surrounding the heavenly messenger that was sent unto him, he was overwhelmed with a sense of his own weakness and imperfection. Describing the effect of the wonderful scene, he says, "There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." Daniel chapter 10, verse 8. The soul thus touched will hate its selfishness, abhor its self-love, and will seek through Christ's righteousness for the purity of heart that is in harmony with the law of God and the character of Christ. Paul says that as touching the righteousness which is in the law, as far as outward acts were concerned, he was blameless. Philippians 3:6. But when the spiritual character of the law was discerned, he saw himself a sinner. Judged by the letter of the law as men apply it to the outward life, he had abstained from sin. But when he looked into the depths of its holy precepts, and saw himself as God saw him, he bowed in humiliation and confessed his guilt. He says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. When he saw the spiritual nature of the law, sin appeared in its true hideousness, as his self-esteem was gone. God does not regard all sins as of equal magnitude. There are degrees of guilt in his estimation, as well as in that of man. But however trifling this or that wrong act may seem in the eyes of men, no sin is small in the sight of God. Man's judgment is partial, imperfect, but God estimates all things as they really are. The drunkard is despised and is told that his sin will exclude him from heaven, while pride, selfishness, and covetousness too often go unrebuked. But these are sins that are especially offensive to God, for they are contrary to the benevolence of his character, to that unselfish love which is the very atmosphere of the fallen universe. He who falls into some of the grosser sins may feel a sense of his shame and poverty and his need of the grace of Christ. But pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. The poor publican who prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner, Luke chapter 18, verse 13, regarded himself as a very wicked man, and others looked upon him in the same light. But he felt his need, and with his burden of guilt and shame he came before God, asking for his mercy. His heart was open for the Spirit of God to do its gracious work and set him free from the power of sin. The Pharisee's boastful, self-righteous prayer showed that his heart was closed against the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because of his distance from God, he had no sense of his own defilement. In contrast with the perfection of the divine holiness, he felt no need, and he received nothing. If you see your sinfulness, do not wait to make yourself better. How many there are who think they are not good enough to come to Christ? Do you expect to become better through your own efforts? Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then ye may also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. There is help for us only in God. We must not wait for stronger persuasions, for better opportunities. We must not wait for stronger persuasions, for better opportunities, or for holier tempers. We can do nothing of ourselves. We must come to Christ just as we are. There is help for us only in God. We must not wait for stronger persuasions, for better opportunities, or for holier tempers. We can do nothing of ourselves. We must come to Christ just as we are. But let none deceive themselves with the thought that God, in his great love and mercy, will yet save even the rejecters of his grace. The exceeding sinfulness of sin can be estimated only in the light of the cross. When men urge that God is too good to cast off the sinner, let them look at Calvary. It was because there was no other way in which man could be saved, because without this sacrifice it was impossible for the human race to escape from the defiling power of sin and be restored to communion with the holy beings, impossible for them again to become partakers of spiritual life. It was because of this that Christ took upon himself the guilt of the disobedient and suffered in the sinner's stead. The love and suffering and death of the Son of God all testify to the terrible enormity of sin, and declare that there is no escape from its power, no hope of the higher life, but through the submission of the soul to Christ. The impenitent sometimes excuse themselves by saying of professed Christians, I am as good as they are. They are no more self-denying, sober, or circumspect in their conduct than I am. They love pleasure and self-indulgence as well as I do. Thus they make the faults of others an excuse for their own neglect of duty. But the sins and defects of others do not excuse anyone, for the Lord has not given us an erring human pattern. The spotless Son of God has been given as our example, and those who complain of the wrong course of professed Christians are the ones who should show better lives and nobler examples. If they have so high a conception of what a Christian should be, is not their own sin so much the greater? They know what is right, and yet refuse to do it. Beware of procrastination. Do not put off the work of forsaking your sins and seeking purity of heart through Jesus. Here is where thousands upon thousands have erred to their eternal loss. I will not here dwell upon the shortness and uncertainty of life, but there is a terrible danger, a danger not sufficiently understood, in delaying to yield to the pleading voice of God's Holy Spirit, in choosing to live in sin, for such this delay really is. Sin, however small it may be esteemed, can be indulged in only at the peril of infinite loss. What we do not overcome will overcome us and work out our destruction. Adam and Eve persuaded themselves that in so small a matter as eating of the forbidden fruit, there could not result such terrible consequences as God had declared. But this small matter was the transgression of God's immutable and holy law, and it separated man from God and opened the floodgates of death and untold woe upon our world. Age after age there has gone up from our earth a continual cry of mourning, and the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pains as a consequence of man's disobedience. Heaven itself has felt the effects of his rebellion against God. Calvary stands as a memorial of the amazing sacrifice required to atone for the transgression of the divine law. Let us not regard sin as a trivial thing. Every act of transgression, every neglect or rejection of the grace of Christ, is reacting upon yourself. It is hardening the heart, depraving the will, benumbing the understanding, and not only making you less inclined to yield, but less capable of yielding to the tender pleading of God's Holy Spirit. Many are quieting a troubled conscience with the thought that they can change a course of evil when they choose, that they can trifle with the invitations of mercy, and yet be again and again impressed. They think that after doing despite to the Spirit of grace, after casting their influence on the side of Satan, in a moment of terrible extremity they can change their course. But this is not so easily done. The experience, the education of a lifetime, has so thoroughly molded the character that few then desire to receive the image of Jesus. Even one wrong trait of character, one sinful desire, persistently cherished, will eventually neutralize all the power of the gospel. Every sinful indulgence strengthens the soul's aversion to God. The man who manifests an infidel hardihood, or a stolid indifference to divine truth, is but reaping the harvest of that which he has himself sown. In all the Bible, there is not a more fearful warning against trifling with evil than the words of the wise man that the sinner shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22. Christ is ready to free us from sin. But he does not force the will, and if by persistent transgression the will itself is wholly bent on evil, and we do not desire to be set free, if we will not accept his grace, what more can he do? We have destroyed ourselves by our determined rejection of his love. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart, the human heart, with its conflicting emotions of joy and sorrow, the wandering wayward heart, which is the abode of so much impurity and deceit. 1 Samuel 16:7. He knows its motives, its very intents and purposes. Go to him with your soul all stained as it is, like the psalmist. Throw its chambers open to the all-seeing eye, exclaiming, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Many accept an intellectual religion, a form of godliness, when the heart is not cleansed. Let it be your prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51:10. Deal truly with your own soul. Be as earnest, as persistent as you would be if your mortal life were at stake. This is a matter to be settled between God and your own soul, settled for eternity. A supposed hope, and nothing more, will prove your ruin. Study God's word prayerfully. That word presents before you, in the law of God and the life of Christ, the great principles of holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. It convinces of sin. It plainly reveals the way of salvation. Give heed to it as the voice of God speaking to your soul. As you see the enormity of sin, as you see yourself as you really are, do not give up to despair. It was sinners that Christ came to save. We have not to reconcile God to us, but, O wondrous love, God in Christ is reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19. He is wooing by his tender love the hearts of his erring children. No earth.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. My name is Sister Leola, and I am here on the prayer line to bring our sisters and brothers the message of God. Oh, praise the Lord for his word. So, brothers and sisters, I'm hoping that Brother Akeem would come tonight and would be able to share with us the word of the living God. But what I will share from the Bible, I want to share Matthew's chapter 27, verse 31. I'm not going to read it all. I'm reading actually from the little children book. I love these little stories. But in the story, it says the Lamb of God. And I'm going to read the verse first from the Bible. So let us pray. Let us have a word of prayer. And please be with me in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before thee, the great throne of God, the great I am, and one who have given his all to a lost world of sinners. So Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Father, to confess and asking you to forgive us for our sins, Lord, we pray for one another as we lift up one another to you, asking that you look in each one of our hearts and search us and know us. And Father, we ask that there be anything in us, Lord, which, Lord, you continue to help and strengthen us by purifying us, by showing us self. So, Father, please cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And, Lord, we also lift up this prayer line to you, asking that you be with us on this prayer line, showing yourself, Father, that you are the most righteous and holy, Father, and that none, Father, like us are righteous. But yet, Father, through the blessing of the your Son, Elohim, our Savior, Emmanuel, Father, we thank you for your Son. And we ask you to bless the name of your Son tonight, Father, as we lift him up, as we lift up our Father the great Father and God of love, that he showed his love on Calvary to us. So, Lord, as I read this little children storybook, the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world, oh, Father, I'm asking you to bless this reading. I'm asking for your Holy Spirit. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon each and every one of us. Lord, soon and very soon, you're going to soon be coming. And, Father, we ought to have our heart and our lives right with you. So by beholding, we become changed. So, Father, let us behold our Savior, and which is Emmanuel. God is with us. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 that he was going to send, that it was going to be a virgin and a child. Let me read it, Father, so I can quote it right. But I want to read this story about your son, Father. So we're thanking you for this blessing. So, Father, bless each and every brother and sister that's on the prayer line. And we thank you so much, Father, in your son, Emmanuel, name I do pray. Amen. And I want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining the prayer line. I'm trying to get out of using Yeshua. And if you search the name Yeshua, but the Bible doesn't speak of it. And I'm so used to using Yeshua, so I'm trying to use what the Bible says. So I want to read the scripture. So let me get it. Amen. And you can look it up yourself. The Bible says use the Bible. See, line upon line, precept on precept. It's in Isaiah chapter 7. I just want to read that. Isaiah in chapter 7 and verses 14. I'm reading what the Bible says, that that would be a child born of a virgin. And I can't quote the scripture verbatim, but that's why I am reading it. Okay. Wait, I'm thinking it's chapter 14 and verse 7. So let me see. No, that's not it. Okay, I don't know what verse it is. I would have to look it up again. I would have to look it up again, brothers and sisters. I don't forgot what verse. I'm going to look it up and I'll read it later. Okay. So let me just read this other scripture that I had ready. Because of lack of time, I'm going to move forward. And I'm reading from the little children's book. It's the Golden Treasure Bible Stories. And I read Matthew. I was supposed to read Matthew 27 and verse 31. So let me get that. But I wanted to read the other one about Christ's name, Emmanuel. His name would be Emmanuel. So that's the reason I use Emmanuel. So let me find my verse, Matthew 27 and verse 31. That is the topic of the story I'm reading. And it says 31. I'm not going to read all because it goes to 66. And it said, after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own remnant on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by the name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into the place called Gotha, that is to say a place of skulls, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gold. And when he had taste thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and departed his garment and cast lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. And they parted the garment among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Elohim. This is Emmanuel." But of course, you know, it says Jesus. "This is Emmanuel, the King of the Jews." And then there, two thieves crucified with him on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their head. And they saying, "Thou hast destroyed the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders, saying, "He hath saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we'll believe him. He trusted in God, so let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Oh, brothers and sisters, as we read here in this word about how the people, God's own people, and what they did to him, mocking him and telling him to come down from the cross because you believe God, so now let God. You know, that was so cruel. And when we see stuff like this, God allowed these things to go on until the time be fulfilled. Oh, but those same people that did not understand and didn't give no repentance, they're going to see the time when Christ is going to be glorified and they're going to have sorrow. And the Bible says, now let's go to the reading, and I'm just going to share this. All that they've done, they're going to see what the Bible going to say. And it says, and I'm going to read this part, where the Bible says, let me make sure, because where I was going to read, it says, the Bible says that they're going to say, "The rocks fall on us." Okay, this is where I'm going to start. It said, "Now many of the Jews in Jerusalem believe on Elohim, Emmanuel, and they began to gather along the way, and some cried against the priests and rulers who had condemned him to death. There were many women who wept and cried, their tears falling from whom they had blessed their children and healed their sick and taught them love. But Emmanuel turned to them and said, 'Daughter of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, happy are they who have no children, and they will cry to the mountains, fall on us and cover us.'" You see, all those that laughed and mocked Christ, they are going to be the ones tell the mountains to fall on us. Oh, we don't want to live. Kill us. So, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you for myself, you know, if I can't tell you I love you now, how you want me to stand before God and can say I love you? You know, Sister Leola is a heart that share with her brothers and sisters. Get on this prayer line, because it is nothing in me, but it's Christ that I look to. Because you know what? If it was Sister Leola, anything in Sister Leola, it's all wrong, evil. But when I look to Christ, I see all righteousness, and that's how I have to be. And you know, by me saying it, if I can say it, I believe it. And if I believe it, I can become it. So I praise God that he helped me to believe it, so I can accept every word I'm saying. So now I'm asking that my brothers and sisters will press 1, and your line will be open. Amen. There is some that press 1. We're going to open the first line for 857-505, opening your line. Amen.
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello. Hello, beloved. My name is Brother Eli, beloved. I like to thank God because God is good. He's awesome. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. I like to praise him because he is good. He's awesome. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. I have a prayer request tonight, Sister Miola. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mother. Lift up my mother in prayer because my mother needs your prayer. Don't forget to lift up my mom in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Sister Shamika, starting in S-H-E-M-I-C-A. Lift up Sister Shamika in prayer. Pray for Brother Jamal in prayer. And Sister Miola, don't forget to pray for Taisha's nephew, because Taisha's nephew's on the Avalai ministry. I know he lives in a group home, so I'm asking him to push number one on this prayer line. Taisha's nephew or Sophia's grandson. Please push number one. Share about your day. Share about your testimony. I know. We know you live in a group home, but there is a God who will watch over you. There is a God who will deliver you tonight. There is a God, Jerry, who will deliver you tonight. Because Sister Miola say John, and John something like that. You remember when Sister Miola told you, Brother Jerry, listen to the message to when Brother Akeem James come on this prayer line. Listen to the message, my dear brother Jerry. Lift up a little, Sister Miola. I'm asking for Brother Jerry. What matter what you're going through, Brother Jerry, make sure you do fasting. Fasting means when you pray like 6 in the morning, 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 p.m., 6 p.m. But when whether you're going to Brother Jerry, don't forget to push number one. And may God bless you all on the prayer line. Amen.
Amen, amen. Brother Eli, such a faithful young man. The only young man we have on this prayer line, always lifting up the youth. So, Brother Eli, you keep your faithfulness up. Only God will reward you, my brother. So your faithfulness, he hear, he see. So you keep your faithfulness up, and God will reward. And one day, Jahari, all of them, they're going to give God the praise. So thank you once again, and may God continue to bless you. And we're going to continue, brothers and sisters. We are thanking our Father. We're thanking Elohim for Brother Eli and his faithfulness on his prayer lines, his support. Oh, that's a blessing. So we're going to open up the next line for our brothers and sisters. Amen. Let us praise God tonight, sisters and brother, because it's all his. Amen. 518-951, your line is open. Amen.
Amen, my dear. Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters, beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell. I keep on the line a little late-ish. I was trying to get on, but I don't know what happened. I couldn't get on, but God is good. God is great. So I just want to thank God for his love and his mercies and his tender care towards us. I really have to say God is able to do all things when he had placed us here on this land, that we can come to praise him, you know, because all praise and thanks is to go to him, the Heavenly Father, because we cannot do anything on our own. And I thank God for all the things that he has done so that we can have an example to look at him, as we heard how they crucified him. We heard what they have done. We saw what he have done it. because of us, because he loves us so much that he went on that cross, and all what they do, and they think that they have done him anything, they have done themselves because it's going to fall back upon each one of them. So I'm so thankful that we have a loving Father who said to us, despite of all things, if we ask and whatsoever we ask of him, we have to believe that he is able to do it. And now this is the time that we have a lot of things to ask him for, and also to trust him, because he is able to do all things. So my prayer request today is for us to pray for ourselves, our own self. Each individual have a role to play. We have a part in this ministerial work that God has wanted us to do. He said to us that as we pray, we know that we have an advocate. We know we have a Father which art in heaven. And he said whatsoever we ask of him, we have to believe. And when we believe and trust him, we know and we saw that many, many prayers was wrought and many prayer was answered. So I just want to give God thanks. I have a few praise reports that I can say that prayer have been answered. I saw prayer answer on my own with requests, Lord, to our dear brothers and sisters. This line here will actually go to near death, actually death, and prayer was answered that God have raised up our dear beloved brother John and put him back up on his feet, that he is here with us to praise God. So we know that prayer is answered. So when people are saying that they don't trust God, we know that because they do not have faith to believe that God is able. I have saw prayer answer just the other day with my granddaughter who came down with the COVID-19, and she went into the hospital over 3 times, and there, because of prayer for the saints and fasting on a Sabbath, the day of rest, we saw that prayer answer, and she was let out of the hospital before 24 hours and come and went back home. So we saw prayer answer. I have saw prayer answer where even my brother was in the hospital since week, and we all come together and prayed, and God have heard and answered prayer. And my brother is out of the hospital. So God is able, and many, many more prayer requests have been placed upon our place on this line to our Heavenly Father in the most holy sanctuary. And he have heard and answered prayer. So God is able to do all things in our life. And let us continue, my dear brothers and sisters, to be faithful to him, to trust him, to stay close to him day by day, minute by minute, search his word, study his word, because there's a lot of things that's happening in this world to bring distraction to our eyes and to allow us at this late time in our life for us to, falter along the way. He brought in this pandemic here in this world. It allows us to see that even for months, God's people cannot meet together and fellowship with one another. It brings pain. It brings debt. It brings all different things, division. It brings people lost their job. It bring people because they are not they rejected this vaccination. It bring people pain. So this is the time, brothers and sisters, that we, as God's remnant people, we have got the light, and we know that God have given his chosen people here the message that we supposed to go out and present. He gave us a specific message for this time, and also This message combined with a two-fold message, the health message, which is the right arm of the gospel, and also the everlasting gospel to preach to the world, to tell everyone in the world that we come in contact with. And brothers and sisters, let us be faithful to do it. Time is coming up. Difficult times is ahead of us. Perilous times is ahead of us. But if we trust God, look upon him where he is, the work that he is doing in the sanctuary, now that is the only last apartment he can be in. And let us remember, this is what we have to tell people. He is in the most holiest of holiest, meditating with our mediator now, but soon and very soon. Our Father, our loving King, our righteous Savior will be leaving that compartment and said, it is done. So my prayer this evening for each and everyone come together on this little line, prayer line and other little prayer lines, let us be faithful. Let us hold and draw closer together. Let us stick to the word of God. And let us not be selfish to go out in the community and to tell people about Christ. In the shopping center, in their doctor's office, you know, anywhere we go, let us have something that we can share to others. The world is out there dying. They want someone to come and give them a gift. And as our brothers and sisters have been giving out these books, these tracts, let us be faithful and join the four. Let us take our resources and spend to show others that Jesus is coming soon, very soon, soon and very soon. And we know that we have a test, and that test is the National Sunday Law and the Sabbath. And that will be the big test. That will be the mark of the beast. So help us, Lord, that we will be faithful. Kind and loving, righteous Father, this evening, we, your children, come with this warning that you have given unto us. You have given us three angels, three messages, and not the angel. We are the angel. We are the messengers. We are the one who you have given unto to be the representative and ambassador to the world to draw others to you. Souls we are dying for, Lord. So tonight we come before you to ask you for that strength, that power, that latter rain, that Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, dear Father, that we will go out to lighten the world with the glory of you, though that the word will be shared out there and people will see the need at this time to repent, Lord, and to come to know you. So we ask you to bless each and every one. Lord, there are many names here and you know them, dear Father. So we present every name, every brother, every sister, every children, every leader, every speaker, Lord Jesus, who come on this line, every family members, Lord, from the eldest to the smallest, the children, Lord, we place to you our grandchildren, Lord. They will be the leaders of tomorrow, so we place them to you. The sick amongst us, those who do not understand you, Lord, we ask you to open their eyes, their blind eyes, Lord, and allow them to see your light by studying your word. Give them wisdom, give us wisdom, knowledge that we will understand. And I leave everything in your care. Bless Sister Leola, who is the moderator tonight, Lord. Keep us, Lord, and also the speaker. Lord, use him that he will present the message, Lord, that our heart will be lifted and that we will see the need to go and share with others. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. God bless.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. Thank you, Sister Powell, for that. And we're going to offer prayer for us. As you was praying and talking, as prayer's been answered, so we're going to offer a prayer for answer. Thanks for answer prayers. That's what we're going to do before the speaker come on. So, yes, it's truly a blessing that all those prayers been answered, and only the Lord see the heart, and he answer according to his will. So that's such a blessing that we hear such good news here on the prayer line. So, Sister Powell, thank you for the prayers, and we thanking you for, we also thanking you for your sharing, and also giving the, letting us know all the prayers that was answered. So we thank God for that. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller, and we're going to open the next line, brothers and sisters, because Brother Akeem said he will be on tonight. So let us press one, and we can share and then go into prayer. We open the next line, 4518-744. Your line is open. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And just praising the Lord for allowing us to have another day. And just praising the Lord for those praise reports we heard from Sister Powell. And just happy to hear Brother Eli on. Always faithful, Brother Eli, praying for his mom and all of his friends. And just it's such a nice thing to hear, because that doesn't happen often in this world, as we know. And Sister, what text were you looking for earlier at the beginning? You're looking for the text about Emmanuel. Is that the one you were looking for?
In the Old Testament. I had it, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I know you can find it in Matthew 1:23. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Yes.
And Isaiah chapter 9. Amen.
Isaiah 9, starting with verse 6, but doesn't say.
Yes,
Emmanuel.
9, verse 6 and 7. Okay, I have it.
Yes.
I have it.
Yes. Just, I was just listening to you, and I just wanted to add that in there if you want to read that after I get done here. Just thankful. You know, I have a praise report also, and this morning we got up and my daughter was not feeling real well. She had a stuffy head and everything, and of course, you know, we're leaving on Friday to start a long trip to California. We're stopping in at my parents' house, which is only about 4 hours away from us, and staying there on Sabbath, and then we'll continue on Sunday. And Emily is coming with us. I mean, she'll be driving herself, but she'll be following along also. So, I mean, if she were to get sick now with COVID, she would not be able to go to her wedding. So she got up, and she wasn't feeling like best, so I got her some garlic and honey, and she took a little bit of that, and then she really started feeling sick. Her stomach, she felt like she was going to throw up, and she just having a horrible time. So my wife and I prayed for her, and she went to bed. She took a shower and went to bed, and she was in bed for till middle of the afternoon this afternoon, and all of a sudden she came out, and I was outside working, and she came out and asked me if I wanted something. What are you doing out of bed? She said, oh, I feel much better now. Her headache went away, the queasy stomach went away, all that went away, and she's actually doing quite well right now. So we're just praising the Lord for that, because we don't want to see her get sick now and not be able to go and get married as she is planned. So we have lots of traveling to do, brothers and sisters. Really appreciate your prayers. And we will be traveling the end of this week. I won't be on the. I'm going to try to get on the prayer line on a Sunday night. We'll be in Michigan, but I'm not sure if I'll be able to. Friday night I will not be on. I'll be at my parents' house, but I'm just asking for prayers for us that the Lord will give us a safe trip, but also, brothers and sisters, I'm going to slip a few books into my stuff there, and I want to be able to hand those books out to someone who is looking for the truth. So just praying that the Lord will give me someone to witness to on the way. So, just thankful to hear all the good news, and I'll hear the brothers and sisters on the line. Sister, I'm just going to offer a short prayer before, I don't know when Brother Akeem is coming on, but I just want to offer a short prayer. So, Lord God, I just lift you up and praise you, Lord, for being our God. Father, you are just so good to us. Lord, we do not deserve your grace and your mercy and your goodness, Lord. Father, as we look at our lives, we see the blackness of sin and the stain that leaves on us, Lord. But you have given us Jesus, who died to take away that penalty of death, Lord. And also, his life was an example to us, Lord, that you said that we could live up to his life if we would trust in him and allow him to work in us and through us through the power of your Spirit, O Lord. So, Father, tonight we are asking for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, remove that stain of sin that has stained us for so long, O Lord. Father, our desire is to be righteous and holy as you are. In the scriptures it says, be holy even as your Father in heaven is holy. O Lord, we cannot be holy unless it is Christ's holiness, his righteousness that is covering us. So Lord, we're asking for that right now. Lord, remove the desire from us to sin, Lord. For temptations come, Lord, and they will get the best of us every time unless Jesus is right there by our side, Lord. So, Father, we just asking for you to work a miracle in our lives, a miracle that you said you would work in our lives if we would trust you and follow you with our whole heart, Lord. May we abhor sin as you have told us to, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Protect our health. Protect our families, Lord. Be with our children and our grandchildren, Lord. Our moms and dads, and all of our family members, Lord. We just do lift them up to you. Ask that you would watch over them, Lord, and speak to their hearts, Lord. Strive with their hearts while you're striving with ours, Lord. And, Lord, bring them into your fold so that they will be on that sea of glass and we can all meet together, Lord. Father, I just lift up Brother Eli as he is praying for his mom and Johari and some of the other people that he was praying for, Lord. I don't remember the names right now, Lord, but you know each one of his friends and the people that he is praying for, Lord. We just lift them up to you. We just thank you that Brother Eli is so faithful. He is a witness to all of us, Lord. Continue to guide him, Lord. Give him strength. Give him peace. Give him the will to continue on in that Christian walk, Lord. Father, Sister Powell, she is thanking you for all your goodness to her and her family, Lord. We're just grateful that her granddaughter is home. Please help her to recover quickly, Lord, and completely, Lord. We know that you have given us a health message, Lord, that is second to none, Lord, that it is so much better than the health message that the world is trying to preach to us, Lord. I pray that we would your word and not theirs, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Keep us, Father. If there is something we need to be doing, show it to us, Lord, and give us the strength to do that. Father, your sister Leola and her family, Lord, her son Jarvis and his son Jarvis and daughter Charlotte, Lord, and you and Sister Leola's whole family, Lord, her husband Ray, and all of her other family members, Lord, we just do lift them up to you. I think of Brother John, Sister Brenda, we do lift them up to you. Pray that they would be able to get back into their home quickly, Lord. And Father, so many other brothers and sisters that we don't hear from all the time, Lord. I do want to lift up Brother Udy, Sister Melissa, and their family. Brother Bernard, Brother Akeem, James, Brother Akeem, Brett, Lord, Brother Serge, because many brothers and sisters that we don't hear from too are very often or even seldom, Lord, we don't hear from them, Lord. Please watch over and guide them. Be with them, Lord. Keep them in the palm of your hand that they may serve you, worship you, and praise you on that last day, oh Father. Father, I want to lift up Brother O'Neill, too, and please watch over and guide him. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers, Lord. And Lord, we do want to lift up our sister Carla, too, and Elder Ken Richardson and his wife and his family, Lord, all the family members of our people here on the prayer line. Father, just bless us now as we continue with this prayer line. Pray that you'd open our minds so that we will receive what it is that Brother Akeem will be bringing tonight. And we know that we've been talking about the sanctuary, Lord, which is so important, Lord, as a part of your system, Lord, and it teaches us what is going on, Lord. So please give us wisdom, Lord, as we listen, and we'll be able to understand and be able to use this to further our Christian walks too, Lord. And thank you now. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Sister Loyola, for opening my mind.
Yes, and thank you, Brother Rick, for the prayers that you offered for us all. And I want to thank you, especially always keeping my son Jarvis in prayer, because it's always my brothers and sisters, when you lift my son up, you are blessing me and encouraging Amen. To just continue to pray for him, knowing that he's not able to do nothing for himself other than the same thing over and over. And by God's grace, I know he is able to bring him out. And I believe Amen. That one day that the Lord will work it out. So thank you once again. Thank you, Sister Powell. Thank you, Brother Rick. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for all, Brother Eli, Sister Tamika. So many that lift him up in prayer. I appreciate it. I love you guys, and I continue to thank you, and I lift all my brothers and sisters up in prayer. So thank you once again, Brother Rick, for sharing on the prayer line, supporting the prayer line. And it's the support that comes from you, my brother. It's not something that glory come from either one of us that support the prayer line, but the glory is all God. So all Amen. Is none of ours. So we just thank him for what he's doing, that we are still here on the prayer line. Thank you. And sisters and brothers, the scripture that I wanted to read, Brother Rick, I found it. Is I was saying it was Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Maybe it was the page. I did not see it. And that's where it is. It's Isaiah 7 and chapter 14. And I would like to read it to my brothers and sisters. And it says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and choose good. Therefore, behold, the child shall know to refuse evil and choose the good. The land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken, and both her king. So I'm going to stop there, because as I was listening, as I was giving a prayer and telling, sharing why I use Emmanuel, because I know that the Old Testament speaks of Emmanuel, God is with us, and I like to use that name more, because I know that it signifies the Son of God and his true name as the Bible has given to him. So I just appreciate that, and I want to do everything, because I do seek and I search. I seek and search out a lot of things, and I find Amen. Out answers, and I do a lot of studying. So I just give God praise, and that's what the Bible tells us. We are to seek him like hidden treasure. We are to search for him and to know him. So I desire to know my Savior. I desire to give him glory. Amen. So now that Brother Rick, you have prayed and you have just give God honor and glory through lifting up your brothers and sisters, I want to thank the Lord for everyone on the prayer line and for their patience. And as we hear on the prayer line, Brother Akeem James just told me that he will not be able to come on the prayer line because he's in another state and he's busy. So we're going to just play a clip. And as we play the clip, and let us just pray. But we like to offer the prayers before, but we got another person has pressed one. So thank you once again, brothers and sisters, and as we be patient to listen. And Sister Tamika, I see you on the line, and we will open the line for a song, if you can please have a song ready, and we will open your line. Amen? Okay. And I will open your line right after Sister Brenda. Sister Brenda had pressed one, so let me open her line. Okay, and I'll open your line because you're going to give us the prayer. I mean, you're going to give us a song, and we're going to pray. And I see Sister Powell pressed again, so let us give Sister Brenda. Sister Brenda, your line is open. You can go ahead and speak.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Home, Louisiana. First, I want to thank God for opening our eyes for us to see another day. We was blessed when we woke up this morning, and thank God for another day. I just want to thank God for blessing me on today. And as I travel to and from my house, I see so many homes. Some of them flip from one from another, and it's just so much. And I'm like, Lord, I just pray to God no one was in these homes. Everybody moved. And I said, Lord, I'm thinking about mine, but look at this here. These people don't have nothing left. It all crushed up into, you don't even know the much what. So I said, Lord, I just thank you for me having something standing up, and I still am able to work with something left. You know, it just tear my heart to pieces. I said, I just pray they'd be able to have some blessings so they can get back together. I knew how I was torn, so I know they even extra. So I pray and lift these people up in Louisiana and wherever they may be, and that their homes are totally destroyed. And I know they are destroyed. And pray that they seek God so they can come to some kind of agreement with God so that they may be to get their minds together, and that God can confidant them in the midst of all it's going through, like he did for us and so many people, so they can have a way still in trying to commit suicide or things that are not even worth it, because they're not going to bring nothing with them. So I just thank God. So that was my testimony for the day, and I'm asking prayer for Advent Light, all the brothers and sisters in Christ that are studying the Word. God could continue going in them to help teach us a better way of living and growing in God, in Word, and meditating and praying and steadfast in his Word, so that we all can come together and pray one for another and not arguing, which is not right and which is not wrong, and stick to your Bible and know that God takes his Word just stand. Amen. So I just thank God for his word. And we know it's not wrong. So if we can all read on one accord, we can all get to know who he is. And that these people that are running around, if they can think, stop and think of him and listen, they can get on the same accord. Amen. God bless each and every one. Want to pray for the sick, homeless, the COVID, and all the other brothers and sisters that are working in the environment. Amen. Brother John.
Amen.
Yes, that's John, Brother John from Louisiana. Yeah, like my wife said, she said a lot about things, and she's right about a lot of things. But I see that she's growing more and more in the Word, just like a lot of us are. And it's like the more you're interested in learning, the more the Word seems to grow inside of us, you know. And like you said, the person that pays attention and that wants to learn the Word, it's like God have it there for us to learn it. And he opened up a lot of doors and like opened up books and everything, opened up the pages, and we could see more and more clearer that he is the way and that God is the light. I guess it's something like a light switch. When you turn it up, it's like your life. When you turn your life upwards, it's like things start improving and getting better and you're growing. Like the light switch, when you turn it down, all you see is darkness. So I just want to keep the light switch turned up and keep on growing and learning in the Word of God and stay into the light.
Mm-hmm.
So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God, Sister Brenda and Brother John. You know that y'all staying faithful and giving God the praise. We want to thank you for sharing tonight. And we want to thank our brothers and sisters for coming on and sharing. So we're going to go to the next caller. We're trying to get to everybody. We have Sister Tamika, press 1, and we're going to open her line. So we're going to be having a clip tonight, brothers and sisters, because Brother Akeem is not here tonight, and that's what we're going to be sharing tonight. So we're going to open the next line for 272-770. Your line is open. And
amen.
Give us your
Thank
name
you for opening my line. Oh, yes. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Leola. God bless you. My name is Tamiko Preston from Pennsylvania. And I'm so grateful to be here tonight with my dear brothers and sisters. And I have a special prayer request from Mary Ann Evans in Pennsylvania. She asked for a special prayer for her grandson, Emmanuel, and for her granddaughter, Akina, I can't say her name too good, and also their child is having heart problems, so they're asking for prayer for the baby, for the whole family, Brother Emmanuel and Brother Akina, Sister Akina and the baby that's in the hospital having a heart problem. So I would like special healing prayer for them, and also I would like prayer requests for everyone on this prayer line, to lift up everyone on this prayer line. Also prayer for you, Sister Leola, and for your family, for your son Jarvis, praying for him as well, and praying for Sister Powell and Sister Stephanie, and for KJ and Kaja, praying for Brother Eli and his mom and all of his friends. Also prayer for Sister Brenda and her husband, Brother John, continue to pray for them as well. So I just wanted to put those prayer requests out, and also prayer for my family. And prayer for myself and my children and my grandchildren. Yes. So I'm so grateful to be here this evening, and I just wanted to sing a song for all of my dear brothers and sisters on this line. And I have song 462, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Amen. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This
is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
God bless you, my dear sister. Hey. Bless everybody.
Hey,
I love everybody. I hope everybody is blessed and stays in the precious palm of the Lord's holy hands. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Tamika, for the song. Thank you for just coming to the prayer line and supporting and sharing and doing what you do. Thank you. And brothers and sisters, we're going to go into prayer. And Sister Powell, let me open your line. I want to ask you if you can share like a 10, 15 minute. We're going to pray first, and we're not going to play a clip. It's just like only 30 more minutes left. We want to pray. Pray for these our brothers and sisters, and then we will let Sister Powell, she can bring us a little, something for tonight. Amen. Sister Powell, are you there?
Yes. Yes, I am here, sister, but I was saying, but you could ask, before you mentioned my name, I was asking Elder Rick. Elder Rick did a wonderful job. Elder Rick did a wonderful presentation last Sunday, and it was mentioned, I got called that we could ask Elder Rick, to present some messages. That was very wonderful, uplifting. It was just plain, and it was uplifting. So if we could ask Brother Rick, if he can't, we will present a little reading. So that is what I have first number one to let you know. So if you want me to pray.
Okay, sure. Let us open his line. Brother Rick? Okay. Brother Rick, are you there? Brother Rick? I think I would have to let him know ahead of time.
I'm here, sister. I had my phone on mute. I'm sorry.
Okay. Will you be able to bring a short message? You don't have to be long because it's just we're going to pray, and you can bring something if you want to share. Bring something, a message. Would that be okay? We're not putting you on the spot, are we?
Oh, you are putting me on the spot, which I don't mind. That's fine, sister. I was still working here, so I was going to have a hard time presenting everything. I'm listening and working at the same time. And why don't you have prayer and let me see if I can come up with something here, okay?
Okay, yes, that would be a blessing. All right. Okay, brothers and sisters, Sister Leola can offer prayer. And Sister Powell, we're going to ask our sisters and brothers if they can just offer a prayer. Just one other person. Sister Powell, you suggest who? That someone else can pray?
Yeah, all right.
Offer prayer.
Okay. Yes, brothers, let us pray. we hear this wonderful, wonderful praise report from everyone. So this is the time, the opportunity we have, brothers and sisters, that we can kneel or bow and offer a word of prayer. As Matthew 5:8 said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, right? Pure in heart, and we want to see God this evening. We want to seek him. We want to draw close to him. We heard those prayer requests, so let us present them to God, to him. So we are asking each one to offer a short word, and then I will go.
Okay, well, first I will offer a prayer, Sister Powell. Oh, okay, Sister Leola will go first. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you, Father, as your children. We seek in your grace and your mercy, asking you, Father, to search our heart and know our thoughts. And Heavenly Father, if there be anything that's not of you in us, Father, we ask and Father to help us, Father, to show us self, and that we get rid of those things that you, Father, that you take these things away from us and place in us the righteousness of Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to lift up one another to you, Lord. And Father, as Brother Rick has mentioned prayers for Sister Powers, Ashley, his wife, his family, for my son Jarvis, myself, my husband, Sister Brenda, Brother John and their family, Sister Power and her family, Father, Sister Stephanie and her family, Father, Father, Sister Tamika and her family, Father, Brother Eli, and the sisters and brothers on this prayer line, Father. We all come here before you, Father. Lord, as you see in us any evil, Lord, Father, we pray, Father, that we kneel before you with a clean heart and a right spirit. So, Father, cleanse us, as David has said, Father. Oh, we sinned. We came in the world sin, and but we were shaped into iniquity, Father. And as David said, cleanse us with hyssop and wash us and make us whiter than snow. Oh, Father, we come before you, Father, because we asking of your grace and your mercy that we plead and for you to renew that spirit in us, that we can be ready for the kingdom as you prepare, and especially before the time of trouble, Lord, our character have to be right with you, because when Christ stand up, Father, that character must be spotless. And so, Father, right now, Father, I pray for each and every one that has been on this prayer line, Father, to ask you, Father, to work with your children. Help your children, Lord, to clean up their lives, and may they walk with you. Father, as we have heard your old prophets and your the men of old, and Father, they have walked with you, and they were even two was taken, Father, and they were so right with you. So, Father, help us to do that and to have that robe of righteousness. So, Father, the only way we can do that, we got to give up self. And Father, and let you take control and lead and guide us and protect us from all this worldly pride and things that's in this world, Father. So we give it to you, Father. It's nothing that we can do without you. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessing. We pray for the prayer line. We lift it up to you, Father. I ask you that you keep this prayer line, Father, because it's nothing that any one of us can contribute. We can't contribute nothing, but it's your will that we be on this prayer line, and that there may be some soul that needs you, that may need to hear the word. And Father, and as they hear, please let your word, let your voice, and let your word be heard on this prayer line. Nothing of us, Father. And if any mistaken or any wrong, Lord Father, we ask that you show us self, and that we will follow you and not of self. So thank you. And your son, Emmanuel name we do pray. Amen. Amen. The next one, amen.
Okay. Father, come, we come before you once more. Where you said where two or three gather together doing the things concerning your will, you are in the midst. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are here with us, hearing our prayer, hearing our plea. And as these requests have been presented to you, Lord, we know that you are our great, great high priest. We know you are the creator of heaven. We know you are our mediator in the most holy sanctuary. And every name, every list, every cause, you know each one of us. Even the ear on our head, Lord Jesus, we all lift up Sister Miriam to you, dear Lord, and those children, Lord, though even the baby, dear Father, they're asking for prayer, and the baby with her heart, Lord, you know everything about that child, but we know you are the great physician. So we place them to you, Sister Tamika, request, Lord, and every request that Sister Leola presented to you, I agree with everyone of them, because we know we have a Heavenly Father who is a great physician, who is a healer, who is a protector, who is a provider, who is sustaining us, who are there by our side, who are keeping us, that we must keep our eyes upon you. So, Lord, we present these requests to you, and we are asking you to hear them according to your will and answer them, because you said we must ask, but we have to trust and believe and have faith in you, Lord, that you are able to do all things. And also present Brother Rick, Lord, to you tonight. Father, he bring praises to us last week, Lord Jesus, and it was just a blessing, dear Lord, where sisters call and brothers are asking, Lord, Brother Rick, that Brother Rick could present some message sometimes. Lord, we have all the resources that you have given unto us, and we want to let you know how grateful we are, Lord, and how thankful to you that you are using your people to carry the gospel message to the world, and even to us, Lord, that our life will be transformed and we will change. So bless and keep, Lord, and bless Mother Rick family, Ashley, the old family, daughter who was not feeling well, but we thank God for your healing power. Lord, the wedding that they will be going to in travel, we ask you for traveling mercies, family members, and that Brother Rick will shine his light, Lord, that he can bring the message to those who do not understand, and that he can come to, that they can realize who you are and come to know you. So we ask you to pour your blessing upon Brother Rick while he will present this message tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen. Yes, my dear.
Amen. 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 And, well, everybody, if you have, if you would like to pray, everyone still have their they number on. You have to take your one off the host queue, and then press one again if someone wants to pray. So that's what, Sister Power, I forgot to thank the Lord for the answer prayers. And let me just ask, thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for answer prayers on the prayer line. Father, we've been on this prayer line since 2012, and Father, we have seen you answer prayers on this prayer line, even my prayer. And I want to thank the Lord for all the prayers that he's been answering for land, for people with land and financing certain things. So, Father, we thank you for everything that you do. Because, Lord, we are your children, and we're just asking you, Father, where should we go? What should we do? So, Father, only you know the direction we should take. So, please, thank you. Thank you for every answer, the answer of Sister Powell's brother. Father, we love to see our family doing well. And when we see one of them sick, Father, it worries us, and we pray for them. We lift them up. We talk to them about your kingdom and to get their lives right. So continue to be with them as they are seeking and searching for you. And let them all know that you're coming soon. So let us take courage and be ready. So, Father, thank you once again. And now, Father, as Sister Powell, lift up Brother Rick. And so Brother Rick has brought a message to us once. And, Father, I thank you that he can do it again. Father, we pray that you pour your spirit in him and bring things out of him, Father. The word you can teach him, the word you can help him to use him on this prayer line. So use him, Father. Help him and give him wisdom in all your will. We thank you in your son, Emmanuel's name, we pray. Amen. And Brother Rick, are you ready? Or let me see if anyone pressed one that would like to pray. Because remember, when we on the computer and we see numbers, we don't see if you press one. We just know that your number's still on. So I'm saying I don't see no one had changed up. So Brother Rick, if you are ready, your line is already open.
Thank you, Sister. I'm as ready as I'm going to be, Sister. I was not ready tonight, but you know what? God will give us a word. If we open up his word, there is nothing that he can't do through us. So let us just remember that. And, you know, for a long time, Brother Udy asked me to speak on the prayer line, and I would be apprehensive. It's hard to speak on the line because you don't have a live audience, and with nobody reacting to you, it makes it much harder. When I'm at home in my church, I know the people, I can see their expressions, I can hear the amens, and so it makes it much easier. So the prayer line is much harder, and I very much am thankful for Brother Udy, Brother Akeen, and all the speakers we have on, because they do such a wonderful job speaking. And I know I don't measure up to them, but that's not what it's about. It's about spreading the word of God. So as I was thinking about this, Sister, I just want us to open up to Matthew 24. There's some very good counsel in Matthew 24. And let me just turn to it here. I've been listening to a number of different speakers, Walter Weiss, Pastor Stephen Bohr, and they've all been speaking an end-time message, a message of preparation, a message of faithfulness. And so as I was thinking about this, I just want us to start out in Matthew 24. Now, this is probably going to be brief, Sister. My mind is a little bit jumbled with all this stuff, so... let me just offer a quick prayer, because without God, nothing will come of it. So, Lord, I just want to come before you, speaking in your presence, Lord. Father, as we open your word in Matthew 24, Lord, bring us wisdom out of these scriptures, Lord. I know your Holy Spirit can do that for each one of us. May we listen, may we learn, O Lord. Teach me, O Lord, as I speak, Lord. It's not me that's speaking, Lord, because if I speak, nothing good will come of it, Lord. But if you speak, Lord, brothers and sisters will be blessed and encouraged and enlightened, Lord. So please, Father, Lord, enlighten each one of us now as we open your word, Father. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Matthew 24, we have a lot going on. You know, it's really encouraging, brothers and sisters. Jesus knew that he was going to be departing soon. He did not leave his disciples, his followers, without counsel. Each day he was counseling them, he was teaching them, he was being an example to them. And in Matthew 24, it says, verse number one, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Now, Jesus oftentimes went into the temple and taught the people. And so Jesus was at the temple. He left the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Now, this was a beautiful building. This was not Solomon's temple. Solomon built the first temple to God. We had the tabernacle in the wilderness, which Moses had had some men build. Very interesting story there. God gave these men great wisdom and skill in building this tabernacle in the wilderness that they did not have before that. After the actually, David wanted to build the temple to God, but God told him that he was a man of war and he needed Solomon to build the temple. So Solomon had, actually David collected many beautiful things, wood and stone and just gold and silver and brass and all these things to build the temple with. But then Solomon was actually the one overseeing that job. Now this is one of the most, it was the most beautiful building in the whole world. And as we know, that temple was destroyed when King Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem and captured the people. I'm not sure which time the temple was destroyed, because there was a couple times when he came back and finally completely destroyed the city. That temple was destroyed, and then after the Israelites moved or came back from Babylon, they were freed by King Cyrus, I believe, and they came back and started rebuilding the temple, and the people that came back with them saw the building that they were building, and they cried because this building was not even a shadow of what the original temple was like. But as the years went by, they kept improving it, and then King Herod actually spent a lot of time and money rebuilding or continued rebuilding the temple and making it nicer, more glorious, and bigger. And so this was the temple that Jesus was at, was the temple that King Herod had actually renovated and made very beautiful. There was a lot of white marble, and it was just a very beautiful place, not as beautiful as Solomon's temple, but still a beautiful place. And the disciples were very proud of this building. They thought that this building meant that God was going to turn them into a great nation, that he was going to rule the earth forever. And so they came to him and they said, that they came to show him the temple. And Jesus said unto them, this is verse 2, "See ye not all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, this building was massive. These stones for the foundation were just huge, huge stones. And the disciples were thinking about this, wow, this is, what is he saying? How could this happen, that this building could be destroyed? If this building is destroyed, they didn't want to hear that, because they thought that Jesus was going to start his earthly kingdom right then and there. And as he sat upon the mount, continuing in verse 3 of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be?" Now, they were very curious. Now, they came to him after, you know, without all the other people there. Jesus was much more open with his 12 disciples than he was with all the people, because many of the people did not understand what he was talking about. So Jesus spoke more plainly with his 12 than he did when all the others were there. But they came to him, asking him, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, Matthew 24 can be quite hard to understand, because there's a number of events going on here that Jesus talks about. So, continue on with verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." Now, brothers and sisters, that is good counsel for today. Jesus in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. But let me look it up really quick. I probably will mess up there if I don't look at that. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun." So the thing that has gone on before, it's going to go on again. And that which has been done shall be done again. And there's no new thing under the sun is what Solomon is telling us here. And that's what is going on here. When Jesus talks about the things, we can say, you know, the things that have gone on before us, which is a very interesting thing I've got to share with you here in just a minute. Things that have gone on before us are happening again right now. But he's saying, let no one deceive you, okay? Take heed that no man deceive you. Now, these days, there are many going around trying to deceive others. Some of them knowingly, others don't even know that they're deceiving others. So he is pointing this out to his disciples, but also to us. "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Okay, now, as we know, there have been many people down through the ages calling themselves the Christ. But many don't come out and say, you know, I am Christ. They come out trying to get your attention, trying to get your allegiance away from Christ, but they don't actually say, I am the Christ. So Satan uses many different forms, brothers and sisters. He doesn't use just the ones that we think he's going to use. Just like in the Garden of Eden, if Satan had come to Eve as a bright and shining angel, an angel of light, and started saying, hey, this is what God told me to tell you, she would have been aware that something was up. He came to her in a different form, and that's what he does to us. So let us take heed that no man deceive us, okay? We shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So as some of us here are a little bit older, we have heard of wars and rumors of wars for many years, and it's going to continue to happen, but the end is not yet. Okay? Be not troubled. And see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. As Brother Akeem pointed out, and Brother Yudi also, nations are rising against nations. We hear that all the time. And kingdom, actually, in the original language, should be translated ethnos, which are, you know, different groups. We're having race wars and all these different things, and this is ethnos against ethnos, and we see that happening now. There shall be famines. Do we have famines in this world? Absolutely. And in a number of different places, people are starving for lack of food, and there will be pestilences. Now, that could not be more true at this time, brothers and sisters. We know what is going on in our country and around the world with the coronavirus. So there will be pestilences and earthquakes in many places. Now, speaking of pestilences, I was listening to Walter Weiss. I don't know if all of you know who he is. You should look him up, Walter Weiss. Amazing Discoveries is his ministry, and he does a series every week. Every Thursday comes out with a new hour-long or a little more than an hour-long video and talking about current events. And I just listened to the one for this past week, this afternoon. And he was talking about this, and something very interesting came up. The scientists are trying to discover about this coronavirus, you know, its origins. And some scientists have actually, back in the 1890s, Ellen White was in Australia, and she had a flu epidemic was going on through Australia. Now, many people got sick. A number of them died. They said about 1 million people, a little over, few more than 1 million people died in the world from this flu epidemic. Some of these scientists studied this flu epidemic, and they actually exhumed some bodies and tested the bones and to see if they could figure out what kind of virus brought this on. And some of them came to the conclusion that this could possibly have been a human coronavirus back in the 1890s. Now, that is very interesting. We can't say that for sure, but that was their conclusion that they came to. Not everybody came to the same conclusion. But so the things that have been shall be, okay? These things are not new. These things have been going on for many years, and God is telling us. He told us this in Matthew 24. Now, this was 2,000 years ago that he was telling his disciples, and so he's giving them information, but it's also for us in this time. So he got done telling them about the famines, the pestilences, earthquakes in many places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, did that happen to Christ's disciples? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Every one of them were martyred except for John, who was exiled on the island of Patmos, where he wrote the book Revelation. So these men were hated. They killed every one of them. They crucified Peter, and they killed James with a sword. Just look at what happened to all of his disciples. Paul was beheaded. So they were hated of all nations for Christ's sake. And then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now, as we are going through this verse, I think, why would somebody... Can somebody betray you if they don't know you? Look at Judas. He knew Christ, and that's how he was able to betray him, because he knew him. So as Jesus was telling his disciples this, he was pointing to the fact that many of our close friends, family, church family, will be the ones that are betraying us, okay, and hating us. And that is just a horrible thought, but is what Christ has said, and we know what he says is true. So we need to be aware of that. We need to be praying that God will give us his grace at that time, that we will not want to lash out, and we will not want to give up the faith just because maybe our family member or a close church family members will be giving us up. It's a thought that I don't even want to think of, brothers and sisters. It is going to happen, so we must be prepared. Christ will prepare us. He will get us through. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. As we see in our world, prophets all the time arising and saying, you know, speaking smooth things. People don't want to hear the hard things. Even in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, many are saying, oh, don't talk about that. You know, we know about that already. We don't want to hear about that. We want to hear some smooth things that will tickle our ears, that will make us feel good. And Jesus never did that to his disciples. He loved them with a love that was beyond comprehension, but he never held back from them the truth. And we must be the same. We must not give a smooth message because we don't want to be persecuted or we don't want to lose our friends, okay? Iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. And you know what? We see that happening now. Just the crazy things that are happening in our world. Iniquity is abounding. Men are using each other to for gain. Many women and children are disappearing from off the face of the earth. Nobody knows what happened, and they're being kidnapped and sold into slavery. You know, we think of these things happening back in the 1800s, but what about now? This is happening now, brothers and sisters. So we have to be aware of these things. And, you know, I pray for these people. I can't imagine what it would be like to be kidnapped from, you know, close to my home and just taken to another country. They say that the women and children, young boys that are kidnapped in this country are sent overseas, and then the ones who are captured, who are kidnapped overseas, are sent here, and that way if they escape, they don't know the language, they don't have family or anybody that can help them to escape. And so I just can't imagine how I would feel if that was me. So we need to keep those folks in prayer too, okay? This is an interesting verse here, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So Jesus is encouraging us, okay? These bad things are going to be happening, brothers and sisters. They're not going to be fun. They're not going to be nice. But he says, you know, look to me. I will give you the strength. I will give you the knowledge, the wisdom that you need to get through this. And if you will endure unto the end, you will be saved. That is a promise, brothers and sisters. That is a beautiful promise that he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So let's keep that promise in our mind. We can endure. Now, that word endure means that something bad is happening. So he's telling us, be ready. Don't fall asleep and think that you're just going to skate through this. You're not going to get raptured away and miss out on all this. So. And then Jesus goes on to say, now these are all the red letters in Matthew 24, which means this is what Jesus is saying. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, has the gospel been preached in the whole world yet? I believe that we are getting close. Most people have heard, have had an opportunity to hear, but maybe not the whole gospel. And I think that's what Christ is waiting for before he comes, is for the whole gospel to be preached in this world before he comes. He has many, many believers in other churches, the Catholic Church, even Muslims, Buddhists, many of these people. There's many good people in these religions. They are living up to the light that has been revealed to them. But when God is ready to reveal the full light to them, many of them come out of the churches, out of the systems that they're in, and they will follow him even unto death. And I just pray, brothers and sisters, that each one of us will be ready for that, because it could come to the point where somebody wants to kill us. And that's a hard thing to think about. But, you know, it will come. Jesus promised that it would happen, and it's going to happen. So, then, right here it switches, okay? Then you therefore shall see that the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. And in parentheses it says, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, we know that when the Roman armies came to Jerusalem, surrounded Jerusalem in AD 66, they had their banners, and they actually worshipped these banners. And so this was the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Actually, the Romans left in AD 66 and they came back in AD 70 and they actually destroyed Jerusalem. But you know what? There is a second fulfillment to this prophecy, which is actually going to happen before Jesus comes, which Jerusalem will not be surrounded again. But this abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, okay, will happen again, okay? As I've listened to different speakers on this topic, many agree that what is happening right now, the trampling of the marriage covenant between a man and a woman, and also the preparation for the Sabbath to be desecrated, are the two things that are going to let us know that this abomination of desolation is happening at that point. The two things that God set up in Eden, the two most sacred things in Eden were marriage. God gave Eve to Adam as his wife. And then God set up the Sabbaths at the end of the sixth day. Sundown of the sixth day was the Sabbath. And these two things are the two things that Satan is trying to destroy from off the face of the earth, and he's doing a good job. So we must be mindful of what is going on in our country and in the world, and these two things. So let us be aware of that. Now, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He was talking about his time. And then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now Jesus said to them, when you see these things happening, you have to flee into the mountains, okay? Now, the Roman armies came and surrounded Jerusalem in AD 66. They were there for a short time, and all of a sudden they disappeared. They just left, and nobody knew why. Something happened, and they were recalled back to Rome. Okay, the disciples, the people, actually had a bit of time to flee Jerusalem. Not one Christian who obeyed God's command was killed in the siege of Jerusalem later on in AD 70. Now it says here, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, and neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And what is he talking about here? They actually had, I believe they had a couple of years to escape, which they did. And as I've been looking into this, I believe he was saying to them, do not let the things that you own deceive you into staying. We think of Lot living in the city of Sodom. Lot lived in Sodom. When God called him out, Lot was ready and willing to go. Now, Lot's wife, she turned back. She wanted to see what was happening to her house, and therefore she was destroyed by the Lord, because her heart was in Sodom and not with God. So Jesus is telling us here, don't let your house, don't let the things that you own stop you from doing what the Lord has asked you to do. And when the time comes and we have to leave, don't try to take your earthly goods with you, because they won't be saved. And so we just have to be aware of that too, brothers and sisters. We can't be caught up in all the things of the world and not be willing to give them up for Christ. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So now he'll switch back to the great tribulation. And that word tribulation has a bad connotation. I wouldn't say bad, but a connotation that many troubles are going to be going on at this time. Such trouble that has never been seen since the beginning of this world. Now we think of the flood. We think of Sodom and Gomorrah. We think of all these things. This is the tribulation of those days shall be worse than all of those. So Christ was trying to prepare us, brothers and sisters, prepare us actually to seek him and his mercy and his goodness and his Holy Spirit so that we would be ready to go through these times. And verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, we can think about this, the 1260 years that the papacy ruled in the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, as they were called. They were shortened shortly before the years ended. France had their revolution, and then took over France, and they actually went in and took the Pope captive. General Berthier went into Rome and took the Pope captive and ended their reign of terror for a short time. And those days were actually shortened for the elect's sake. But if we think about that in the time of the end, I think Christ is going to shorten the tribulation, because if it were not shortened, there would not be anyone left for him to come to return back to. So, and if any man shall say unto you, lo, he is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, there will be great signs and wonders being shown by many people, brothers and sisters, and we cannot put our faith in miracles. I know Brother Udi has spoken about this, and I believe Brother Akeem also, that miracles are not to be used as a gauge to whether this person is of Christ or not, because Satan is going to have his agents on this earth, and they'll be using great signs and wonders. I mean, great signs and wonders, probably possibly raising people from the dead. Now, we know that Satan nor his agents can raise people from the dead, but he can make it look like they're dead and then raise them back up. He can cause them to stop breathing and then start them up again. We don't know what is going to happen. But we cannot use signs and wonders as a test whether this person is of Christ or not. So we have to be very careful. It's that they would deceive even the very elect if it were possible. Okay, so verse 25, behold, I have told you before. So Jesus is telling us ahead of time. He's telling us before these things happen. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, do not go. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, do not believe it. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Christ's coming will not be secret. It will not be in an upper room. It will not be in a dark closet. It will not be in just one place. The whole world will see him coming. And there will not be any guessing to whether he is coming or not. Now, we know that Satan is going to impersonate Christ. He will come down to this earth and telling all the people that he is Christ, and that he has changed the Sabbath to Sunday. So we have to be aware of these things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we will know when Christ comes. There will be no doubt about that. Verse 28, for who wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So the things that Jesus talked about so far have all happened. Okay? And then immediately after the tribulation of those days, talking about the dark ages, shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Okay, we think of the day, I believe it was in the 1700s, late 1700s, 1780, I don't remember the exact date, 1786, not sure if that's the exact date. The sun came up in the morning, and about mid-morning, all of a sudden, everything went dark. It was so dark that a man could not see his hand in front of his face. Now, this did not cover the whole world. It was over the New England area. I'm not sure how far south that it spread. I believe it went down as far as into Virginia. It was so dark that the cows came in, thought it was time to be milked. Men went out to do their work, and they had to carry a lantern because they could not see their hand in front of their face in the middle of the day. So the sun was darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So these things all happened. The moon did not give her light, and there was a great meteorite shower in 1833, I believe. It's something that people had never seen before. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, when we see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, I hope that we are not mourning when we see that, brothers and sisters. We have not made it into God's kingdom. So our prayer is that we are faithful, that we have endured to the end, and then we shall have eternal life, brothers and sisters. So we will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That is just an awesome promise, brothers and sisters. He has promised to gather us from the four winds, even if we have passed away by that time, brothers and sisters. He will raise us up. He will lift us up. We will be recreated into a new being. We will not have these old bodies. We will not have any feebleness, no infirmities, no cough, no cold, no sore limbs, none of these things, no arthritis. All these things will be gone. Baby.
Amen.
We must be faithful to the end, you know. And as I listened to our brothers preach on this line, our safeguard, brothers and sisters, is the scriptures, okay? And the only safeguard that we have on this earth, Christ has given us the scriptures, his holy word. And Brother Akeem liked to say, the living word, okay? And I love Brother Akeem's analogies. He talks about the living word, okay? When we read that word, okay, his spirit enters us, and that word becomes the living thing inside of us. So that's why it is called the living word, okay? Jesus was the word, okay? Jesus is the one that will be living in us if we accept it. So,
Amen.
I'm just looking at the rest of this chapter, brothers and sisters. Just a few things I wanted to just briefly touch over. I won't read the rest of the chapter, but heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So Christ is telling us that we can trust in his word, okay? But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So we must not be time-setting. I know that it's Jesus coming soon. I don't know how soon. I don't believe it'll be many more years. It's not going to be days, because not enough things will happen, brothers and sisters, but I know it won't be too long. And he's calling us to prepare. And he goes on to tell us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in those days, that was before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and living in the that Noah entered the ark. So many people are saying, you know, Christ is not coming, you know, it might be 100 years, it might be 50 years. Jesus said they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage all the days that Noah entered the ark. Okay. So it was only a very short time after Noah entered the ark that the flood came and took them all away, brothers and sisters. And we see that happening now. People are eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and they're not aware of what God is doing, what is going on in this world, and they will be deceived. So they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And so he is giving us more instruction, okay? And I'm going to end there, brothers and sisters. I don't want to take too much time, but these words are so precious. And if we want to be in the kingdom, Lord, with the Lord, we must study, you know, his scriptures, as Sister Leola was talking about it earlier. And somebody else mentioned it too. We must be in this word. We must be, taking this word in every day so it becomes part of us. Because as we have said, this is the living word, and if we want it to live in us, we have to be reading and studying this, not just reading, not just glancing at it and skimming over it, but actually reading it and praying over it, brothers and sisters. I find that unless I pray over these scriptures, it's like reading any other book. If I don't pray, I just read, I come away with very little understanding, and I don't remember what I have read. But you know what? When we pray about it, God sends his spirit, and he guides us into all knowledge. And he helps our memory, too, because we will remember these things. So let us be faithful. Just encourage everyone, be faithful each day. If we even are unfaithful for one day, it puts us back so far that it seems like we can never get back to where we left off. So let us encourage each other, brothers and sisters, to be faithful, to study that word, to continue encouraging each other, and continue the testimonies. I so much enjoy the testimonies. I just love it when Brother Eli comes on, Sister Paul, she had a beautiful testimony tonight, enjoyed Sister Tamika's song, all the folks, Sister Brenda, Brother John, everybody that came on, was just a real blessing. So brothers and sisters, let us keep each other in prayer, and let us be faithful until the end. If we endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So let us remember those words, brothers and sisters. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak, and it's just a blessing to be on. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Paul, you want to give the last? You want to give some words?
Okay. No, I just want to thank Brother Rick for this presentation, Brother and Sister, on Matthew 24. We have heard timely report, and we are asking our brothers and sisters to go back and study the word, Matthew 24. And it will also lead us to other scriptures that we can find in the word of God. And also, it will allow us to be getting ready, but to be ready, because we know that the time is winding up, right? This gospel message is supposed to reach the world. And he said, when the world, the nation, kindred, and tongues, and people, then shall the Lord come. And we do not want the Lord to come, and we are not ready, because you know we will be doomed. So we just want to thank Brother Rick tonight, and thank everyone And as the word said, Father, we want to thank you for the spoken word, Lord. We ask you to pour your blessings upon us, Lord. We thank you for the resources that you have given unto your son, Lord, your priests, Lord, them who are willing and ready to share your word. So we ask you for your blessings upon Brother Rick, his family, his church family, his community, his working family, Lord, his brothers and his sister, his children, his nieces, his nephew, and his mother. And bless us all, we pray. As we give you all the praise tonight, Lord, bless each one of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable
in thy sight, O Lord, our strength
and our
redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. Thank you, Sister Power. Thank you, brothers and sisters. And let us have a good night rest. Amen.